Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is God's Cure for Weariness. Based on Matthew 11, these verses from our Lord, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I encourage you to open up, or look at the front cover, I should say, of your worship handouts. You'll find the outline there as we consider our theme, God's Cure for Weariness. Have you ever felt so weary that you wanted just to give up? This kind of weariness can come from many sources. Take your pick. Is it someone? Or is it something that brings a weariness to you that makes you just want to wave a white flag and surrender and give up? If you've ever felt that kind of weariness, or if perchance you're feeling that kind of weariness today, today your loving God has a message meant just for you. Now the Bible mentions a number of causes of weariness. Let's just take a look at a few of these biblical causes this morning. Waiting causes weariness. Psalm 69:3 says, "I am weary with my crying, my throat is parched, my eyes fail while I wait for my God." Waiting can wear us out. Whether we're waiting for others, waiting for things to change, waiting for God to act. Fighting the enemy causes weariness. 2 Samuel 23 says this of King David. "He arose and he struck the Philistine enemy until his hand was weary and it clung to the sword." Fighting our enemies can wear us out. Whether these enemies are within our own heart and mind, or enemies are another person out to get us, our enemy is the devil himself. Criticism and persecution from other people causes us weariness. Psalm 6:6-7 says, "I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim with tears. My eye has wasted away with grief because of all my adversaries." Unceasing criticism and persecution in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces can wear us out, can make our bed swim with tears. My friends, have you come here this morning with another cause of weariness in your life? In today's sermon text from Matthew chapter 11, the cause of weariness that Jesus addresses and will address especially this morning is the cause of works righteousness. It wears us out. Trying to get right with God, trying to keep right with God on the basis of our good lives and our good deeds. In opposition to that, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Jesus addresses people in the text who were laboring and heavy laden or beaten down by the teaching of the self-righteous religious leaders called the Pharisees. These leaders taught that the only way to keep right and get right with God was doing good deeds and good works. So they published a list of got-tos. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. This put a heavy burden on people who could never measure up and who were told this is the only way you can be sure of God's love. Well, let me ask you a very personal question this morning. What are the got-tos in your life? When a person is caught up in this terrible system of works righteousness, they think, Well, things will go well for me because of all the good things I do. God will love me because of all the good deeds I perform. And if life happens to be going well, then this person can be filled with pride. Oh, I deserve all these good things because of the good things I do. But when things are going badly and difficulties come, this terrible works righteousness philosophy kicks in again and asks, what have I done wrong? What do I need to do better? God must be getting me for something I haven't done. What did I do or not do to deserve this? This kind of false thinking wears you out. My friends, it wears you out. But our dear Lord Jesus comes to us today with a cure for weariness. He invites us simply to come to Him. Listen to these simple words. Jesus is speaking to your heart. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, come to me, you who are heavy laden. The Greek phrase heavy laden can refer either to a ship or to a donkey. A load beyond its ability to handle was placed upon a ship, placed upon the back of a donkey, with the result that the ship sinks and the donkey collapses. Have you ever felt like sinking or collapsing under the heavy weight put upon your shoulders by someone else, or perhaps put upon your shoulders by yourself? In opposition to this, Jesus says, but come to me. Come to me. Not get busier and busier with noble and good deeds, filling your calendar with countless activities so you can win the approval of others. Oh, how busy you are. How wonderful you must be. No, Jesus says, come to me. Don't believe the devil's lies that shout, you're only worthwhile. You're only loved by God if you're doing all things well and you're successful. No, Jesus says, come to me. And what will He do? He promises. With a promise that's written in blood, He promises that He will give us true rest. Now, the Lord says much the same thing in the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. In chapter 40 of Isaiah, verses 28 to 31, listen to these verses. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and others stumble and fall, those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not be weary. My friends, this morning on the last day of July, 2011, it's time for each of us here to cast away the lies of works righteousness and to lean upon God's everlasting arm. It's time to take to heart the words of Blessed Martin Luther when he said that there really only are two religions in the entire world. Do you know what they are? Luther said, really only two religions. All religions in the world can be boiled down to this: faith or works. That is, the faith that depends upon what God has done and upon His mercy, or a trust and dependence upon my own good life and good deeds. Now, it's not enough just to know the difference in our head between these things. This illustration will explain why. A teenager's mother picked her up at school to take her to a dentist appointment. All the way there, the girl was all excited and bragging about herself. She had just taken a language placement exam. "Oh, mother, the test I took told me I'm in the top 10% of all the students in the nation with the ability to understand the English language and make sense out of words." And she kept bragging and talking about this all the way to the dentist's office. But when they arrived at the dentist's office, there was a big sign on the door that said "pull," but the girl pushed. And the dentist's appointment had to be put off because of a fat and swollen lip. Now, most of us here this morning would claim to be in the top 10% of all the people in the nation who understand intellectually the good news of Jesus. We've read the Bible, heard the sermons, sung the hymns, been to instruction class or confirmation class. Intellectually, we may have some information in our heads. But often, when we get to the dentist's office, when things get rough in our lives, often we can't tell the difference between push and pull. We all have a need, don't we, for our head knowledge of biblical doctrine. And you know where I'm going with this. For that head knowledge to move 18 inches to our hearts. It's not enough to know things about God. What God is calling us to do in our text today is to trust Him in our hearts, so that this trust would make a difference in our daily life. Let me let you in on a little secret this morning. The entirety of your Christian life isn't this hour you spend in this building on Sunday. God wants your faith to make a difference in every day of your life, every minute. He wants us to trust Him so that He can make a difference for us. Trust is resting upon God and then watching Him take care of us. Listen again to the Lord's invitation to you. This invitation is not for your neighbor. It's for you this morning. Jesus says, "Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I," says Jesus, "will give you rest." Real rest is knowing and trusting a Savior who loves you and died for you. Real rest is knowing and trusting this Savior paid for your sins and for the sins of the world. Real rest is knowing and trusting that you are right with Almighty God, not on the basis of your paltry good deeds, but on the basis of Him who gave His life for you. Real rest is knowing and trusting that this short life is not all that there is, but that God has an eternity in heaven waiting for those who put their trust in Jesus. Now, a key ingredient to real rest is found in the rest of the words of Jesus from this passage from Matthew 11. After His words about coming unto me, then Jesus says these words, "Take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." A yoke is a device placed upon the shoulders of a working animal. We call them a beast of burden. A yoke is a device placed upon their shoulders so they can pull a heavy cart or a heavy load. Jesus says here that His yoke that He wants to give you makes burden bearing easier. And what is that yoke? It is the gift of Himself. Do you need more rest? You need more Jesus. Do you need more rest and freedom from weariness? You need more Jesus. The ancient teacher of the church, Saint Augustine, the spiritual father of Martin Luther, put it this way: "Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee, O God." Well, in view of all we've discussed today, let's finally get to the end of our sermon. It's upon your outline. Our responses to weariness. As we learn and learn again that true rest is found in our Lord, who died and gave Himself for us and rose in Easter resurrection victory, are there any practical things we can do to enjoy this rest? There are. Let me just share just two with this, for you this morning. I'd like to call this first idea the honesty hour. Now, there's nothing sacred about an hour or a time of 60 minutes, but the idea is to give yourself a wonderful gift every day. That gift is time alone with God. When you push everything else aside, I've often called this in my life my DQT, my daily quiet time. Because Jesus said, "Come unto me, and I'll give you rest." How about trying this? How about shutting off that television? Laying aside that cell phone. Pushing aside that computer. Your God is waiting for you every day to give you His priceless gifts. Now, you pick what time of the day is best for you. And perhaps just begin with 10 or 15 minutes of reading the Scripture, of praying aloud and listening to God speak to your heart. See what a difference it will make. Jesus says, "Come to me." Let's take Him up on His offer. And the second way to defeat weariness is to provide relief for somebody else. Giving care, time, and support to somebody else in need can make your weariness melt away. You can watch God at work when God, through you, in Christ's name, care for somebody else. Time to tell you a secret of my pastoral ministry. I tell you that when I'm beat up or worn down by heavy pastoral duties, the best tonic I can take is to leave my church office and in Jesus' name go care for a church member or somebody else in the community who needs the love of God. Well, let me share a final story to end our sermon. Tomorrow morning, bright and early, woohoo! Beverly and I are taking some vacation time. We're going to the vacation capital of North America, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. That's where daughter Abigail and son-in-law Josh have just moved into their first home. My mission is to go there and to encourage them to fill the house up with grandkids. Speaking of that, next Sunday we are blessed to have Pastor Sandy Shelp. He and his wife are here with us this morning. Pastor Shelp will be taking the services next week. On the 14th, I'll be back. But for the 10 or 11 days we're gone, we're going to see the kids. When my son Christopher and daughter Abigail were little, a real special treat for them was to lie on the couch with Daddy. They'd snuggle close with their heads on my chest, and I'd wrap my arms around their shoulders. This means so much now to me, now that they're 28 and 25. They'd snuggle close with their heads upon my chest, and I'd wrap my arms around their shoulders. They'd rest happily, and for a few minutes wouldn't even be fighting with each other. Maybe. And they'd fall asleep with my arms, with Father's arms around them. My friends, here's a wonderful picture of what our Lord Jesus was talking about in the sermon. Here's a wonderful picture of our Lord's yoke. His loving arms around our shoulders to give us true rest and security. Jesus said, "Come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. And I will give you rest." His love is the cure for all of our weariness. Thank God for the cure. Thank God for the cure. In the name of Jesus. Amen.